fucking street. There's a man in the corner in a pool of misery. All right, welcome to the Fairways and Greens podcast. We're basically, my name's Craig. I'm going to intro this podcast. So what we're going to do is we started this because we want to have a mix of people kind of who played the game at various levels. I'll talk about how we all know each other, but what we have here is essentially a tour pro, a club pro, probably the closest thing to club pro guy, if you've seen that around, and a weekend warrior now who was a good junior and collegiate golfer himself. So what we'll typically do every week is quick recaps of the tournaments, any news surrounding the game. Hopefully we get into interviews eventually. We talked about how we'd like to go into maybe some people that aren't heard about in golf, being more the mini tour pros, the grinders out there, people that will have those interesting stories that we don't necessarily hear from a whole lot. I guess all three of us at some point have been around those guys and we know how funny they can be. We know like how different their lives are from any other professional athlete. We know kind of the hardships they've gone through, so I think they could make for some really good content. Also just interviews around the game of golf, like anything from like a golf nerd, some of our former teammates at our elite Division II golf school, and anyone that's just going to be a good conversation and has some good stories and wants to talk about golf. Before we get started, I guess one thing I want to introduce is how we all know each other. So like I said, we all went to an elite Division II golf school. Division II is the second highest level of collegiate golf, and we were basically at the peak of that. So basically, what I'll start off with is how I know Mike. Mike was one of the better golfers from our area in Vancouver here. The way I met him was I was a very quiet kid on the golf team, basically didn't say a word for the first month. Everyone thought I was a skinny white virgin, which essentially I was. And then after about a month of being at school and showing up to practice and not saying a word to anybody, I got invited out onto the putting green at Vancouver Golf Club and hit it off with them right away as soon as I opened up my mouth. We, I think, played 21 on the putting green, which if any of you don't know, is one of the best gambling putting games out there. I think me, him, and about four other of our teammates sat on that putting green for 6 hours. No joke, I think it was 6 hours. There's a decent amount of money tossed around for some college kids. The way we ran into Braden came in. Braden was actually a Division I golfer. That's the peak of the peak. He was an elite junior golfer. I don't know. His parents paid his way into the school. We're not really sure yet. Came out and played the Bellingham Amateur with us. Knew Braden was going to be a good fit to our degenerate golf team when six of us were sharing a room together in Bellingham, and Braden and our other teammate Kevin were up until about 3 a.m. playing beer pong, not even drinking, but just gambling the entire time. So from there, we hit it off, and we just had a great time throughout university. So that's about it. Kind of get on to the content now. Just want to kind of throw it to you guys. Tell me about your week. Braden, why don't you go first? Anything interesting that happened? Any golf stories? Any stories about life? I know you got a kid. That's got to be hell. So,
yeah, thanks, Craig. Yeah, Craig definitely oversold me playing Division I golf. I was not an elite junior golfer by any means, but put together like a few reasonable tournaments and was lucky enough to be recruited to play at Arkansas State, but quickly realized when I went down there, it just wasn't the fit for me. So I fit in a lot better back in Canada at SFU, and that's how I met these two chuckleheads. But this past weekend, it's been about, I live in Red Deer, Alberta. Right now I'm in Calgary, actually, but it's been like minus 35 here. So definitely no golf. These other two live in Vancouver area. I don't know how much golf they got up to, but Watched a lot of football, and my Cowboys got blown out by the Packers, so certainly was not a good football viewing weekend. But as Craig mentioned, had a kid 2.5 months ago. He's a cute little guy named Theo, and a lot of my friends here in Calgary got to meet him for the first time this weekend, so it was pretty nice to do that. But yeah, that's about it. Mike, what'd you
Mike, it's all you now. Now's a great time to speak up.
Yeah, I find it funny when you were doing the intros that you didn't bring up that you started dating my ex about a week after you met
Oh,
me.
fuck.
That's just a convenient thing to leave out of the pod, but yeah, we're still friends. Things are good. We're both single now. I, like Brayden, was stuck to my couch on Saturday and Sunday. Taught a few golf lessons and then just watched football and watched a little bit of the golf and watched Rory kind of implode on the back nine of his DP World Tour event.
Nice. Yeah. I also watched that when I could pop into the pro shop. Basically my week. Like Braden said, like they have pretty crazy weather over there compared to us. I mean, the big thing is we finally had freezing temperatures this week. Driving home from West Van at the elite private course I work at. Usually takes about 15 minutes. It took me 3 hours and 7 minutes to get home. I'm officially calling for public execution of bad drivers in Vancouver. It's so out of hand. We had a lady with her hazards on the highway with no snow. It was just wet, doing about 30 kilometers an hour. I think there's a lot of benefit. Like, I don't know. I might start running for politics or something. I think there's a lot of benefit to public execution of bad drivers. I think things like less drivers on the road, we could get rid of the carbon tax, save money. I also think we could decrease accidents and lower insurance. So, overall, cost of living would go down in Vancouver. But anyway, we should probably get on to the golf.
I really like those points you made.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's what we need. I need someone to explain to me why does tra So if everyone just goes the speed limit, why is there backups on the highway? I can't comprehend this. It doesn't make any sense to me.
If everyone was a good driver, then there would almost never be traffic. But I don't know. People do study it. I'm sure there's a lot smarter people. You could watch some YouTube videos, but it's just like as soon as there's one little congestion area, then it starts like backing it up. You run into the next little wave, and if everyone just stayed relatively consistent, no issues. But I think I'd endorse your politics, Craig. I don't know how we're just gonna like revoke a bunch of people's driver's licenses, but I don't know how you're gonna enforce that, but let's do it. Let's
Yeah, I mean,
remove the lowest common denominators.
I
We
think
do have someone here.
once we execute them, their driver's license are kind of void though, aren't they?
True, true, true.
That's a good point. Yeah, and think like it would strike so much fear. I mean, Mike, you're from a family of doctors and you're a realtor yourself, so you should have some IQ points here to help us with this. Why does traffic occur?
You know what? I wasn't prepared for that question today. And like you said, I am just a realtor, so don't expect too much from me.
Okay, all right, fine. Let's go on to golf then. So first thing, I mean, we're a week behind of when we wanted to record this, so good start. Pat ourselves on the back for that. But Kisner in the booth. I mean, everyone else has already talked about it. What did you guys think? Mike, why don't you lead us off? Like, what did you think of how he did?
I thought he was just I thought it was awesome. I thought it brought like another kind of angle to the coverage. I think it's really a smart thing that they did when you bring somebody that has some credibility like Kiz, not only like the golf credibility, but I also think that he's a very well liked guy on tour. So he can kind of chirp and kind of razz the players a little bit when they're making mistakes or taking too long and doing stuff. And the golf world won't have the same reaction to say like a Johnny Miller saying that he's the best golfer of all time for, you know, the 20 years that he was on the mic. So I think, like, overall, it's a very good step to getting better and better announcers. And I hope that we see more of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get to watch too much of it, but obviously there's lots of clips that are going not viral, but viral for golf, which is like not viral at all, about him talking about Scottie Scheffler's putting and Jordan Spieth's 3-footer. And just like the way he can talk about that as a guy that was just out there, he has that relationship. I think that's really good. One kind of tangential, like relation or similarity, I would say, is kind of like Pat McAfee on College Game Day. Like, a lot of traditionalists kind of don't like Pat McAfee on that show. And I don't know how he's going to be viewed by the 6-year-old white guy that turns on golf like Sunday afternoon and hears this guy, if he's not too familiar with him in the past. But I think it is a way to get more views, the younger generation involved, like hear a guy that kind of talks like them, shares stories and has a relationship with the other golfers. So I think it's a really good thing.
Yeah. The one thing I was surprised by was, like, when I watched Kisner on any YouTube videos like Foreplay or something, he is awesome. Like, he's so likable, but sometimes I was a little worried. I'm like, okay, is he gonna try to be too much of a personality and not focus on the goal? I think he struck like a really good balance. I think,
yeah,
some of the traditionalists, yeah, like, I know my dad's like, what, like, he's like a senior now, he's 64 turning 65. I think I haven't talked to him, but I think he would love Kisner. I know our generation, he's like been one of the biggest personalities on social media, and like, for a guy who doesn't even try to, like, I don't think he personally has a huge presence on Instagram, but all the other outlets have kind of found him, and he's just flourished with like the younger generation for sure.
Yeah, I think the key thing there is that if he doesn't try to fit the mold of a traditional announcer, if he tries to do that, he'll just blend in with whoever's done it in the past, like Azinger or Johnny Miller. I like Johnny Miller. He was kind of exciting, just his arrogance. But if he just like sticks to his personality instead of trying to fit the mold of someone else, then I think it'll be a really good hire by NBC Golf Channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, you got anything or?
No, I think I agree with everything Bray said for sure.
Yeah. I think I agree. I think Johnny Miller, like, at the time got a lot of hate. I think sometimes he was such a fucking idiot, but like I know we talked about last week, or like when we were doing kind of our pre-show, how much he talked about how good he was, and he would always just try to subtly put that in there. Like, it could be the fucking, like, the John Deere Classic on Friday, and he'd be like subtly sneak in something about his 63 at the US Open, like, whatever. What, like, it just it drives, that part would drive me nuts. But besides that, I and he would also explain that, like, every bad shot, like, a guy could flush it and he'd be saying he hit it 4 grooves thin. It didn't, like, nothing made any sense sometimes, but at least he was a personality, and like, they kind of need that, right? So
yeah, that's true.
Moving on, Tiger Nike split, obviously a huge thing in the news now. I guess, like, Braden, we'll start with you. Like, why do you think that was? What do you think's next for Tiger? I think that's the biggest question.
Well, like, Tiger and Nike have been together for my whole life, I think. And one of my first golf memories was watching him chip in at Augusta, where you see the ball rolling down the big slope in the 16th green, and then the Nike
advertisement.
Swoosh. Yeah, the swoosh falls over the edge of the cup after it stays there, and he fist pumps, and he and Stevie celebrate, and he goes on to win in a playoff. That's like the best advertisement there ever was. So to hear them splitting was, pretty crazy. But I do know for the last couple of years, he has not worn their shoes. He's been wearing foot FootJoy shoes. So
the best shoes.
I don't know if that's got something to do with it. I know Nike is also just kind of slowly pulling out of the golf space. I think they stopped making clubs a few years ago. Obviously, they still have the clothes, but yeah, he's got like the TW brand is under the Nike umbrella. I'm not sure what cut he gets of that. So if I'm just going to speculate why they're splitting, maybe Tiger wants a bigger cut of whatever, like whatever money that he's bringing in, and he wants to go in on his own. That's just what I'm speculating, but I don't really have any sources, but it is still, it's crazy. He played the Bridgestone balls, TaylorMade clubs. So not really affiliated with any one brand specifically. So I wouldn't be surprised if he just created his own line that's not tied to any company.
Yeah, I mean,
it's gonna be Mike, weird. It's just gonna be weird seeing him in something that's not Nike. Like, when he gets rid of Nike, he better not get rid of like the Sunday Red.
No. If he gets rid of the Sunday Red, then that's crazy. That's been a staple for like every Sunday that he's in contention, or any Sunday that he's playing.
And I've bought Nike golf stuff before, and I don't buy Nike stuff like because it's by Nike. I usually buy it because it's like Tiger Woods affiliated. So if he was to, like, I don't know if he ever wants to do this, but if he was to get his own apparel brand, he could make a killing off of that.
Well, so that's kind of what my guess will be, is that I didn't know this until maybe a week ago, but I didn't know Callaway. I don't know how, but I didn't know Callaway owns Travis Matthews. I believe that's true. I might be fake news, but I think it's true, which is kind of bad. But I know TaylorMade. I know he's like with them. I know, is it Adidas owns TaylorMade, right?
Yeah.
It's not TaylorMade owns Adidas. I'm wondering if like if there's a premium brand there somewhere down the line. Like I don't love Adidas stuff. I think their clothing's okay. Like I don't hate it or anything. Not to be a snob. There's so many premium brands out there. Like what's his kid? His kid's already sponsored by Grayson, apparently. I think Charlie gets paid some I believe this is what I heard. Maybe it's under the table, but I heard Charlie's accepting like massive amounts of money from Grayson to wear their stuff. But yeah, I don't know how much truth there is to that.
I've never even heard of Grayson, so that's, I mean, the Woods family is certainly not hurting for money, so I don't know why he'd be doing something sketchy if it's under the table. But yeah, that's certainly news. I just know this was pretty shocking to hear of the split. Excited to see what happens though, and if he signs with someone else or does his own thing.
I should preface that Grayson rumor that I heard that from a member at Capilano. So take that with like a huge grain of salt.
Nice. What's their handicap?
Yeah, yeah. Probably a smooth like 16. He's actually a 20, but like, yeah, I don't know. There can't be much truth to that. I can't believe I've never heard of Grayson. That's wild. I don't know. I'm around all the rich people now, so I know all the good brands. I had never heard of it before Cap, for sure.
Getting a little off topic here. Did you see how baggy the clothes were on Jason Day for his debut of his I don't remember the brand that he's with.
Malbin or Melbon? Yeah.
That is a look, man. That is a look.
I was going to touch on that in a later segment, actually. So, that was certainly, he's got a lot of fabric going on in the pants.
Yeah.
Blood pants, basically.
I feel like he's trying to bring back that style, or like that company is, right? Because that was OG Tiger Woods, like parachute pants, like everything's gone to tight and it actually looks good now. He looked like a bag of shit, but I love Jason Day. I don't know. I can't even say anything bad about him. But that looked terrible. Okay, we'll move on. Unless you guys got anything else for rumors, jump in. But I think that's pretty much it. Probably, I don't know, the third. I feel like there's like three topics in golf people can't stop talking about. I don't even want to bring up Liv right now. I'm not a hater on Liv. I just... It's all everyone talks about. There's like no developments for a little while. So rollback. I think this one could be awesome for us because I feel like we all got differing opinions. Mike, I'm going to start with you because I think you might have the most different opinion from me, at least. I don't know where Braden stands. Are you pro or con? Were you bifurcation, however you say it? I don't know. Why don't you start us off?
So I think, and I don't actually know the correct definition for these things, so maybe you and Bray can touch on this before I start. But I think like just a definition of what the rollback is and what bifurcation is a good place to start, just for people that don't know exactly what they've done. And then
Okay.
I'll give my 2 cents.
Sure. Rollback is essentially making the ball go less far than it currently is, and it's done with testing conditions. So there's certain conditions that ball manufacturers, club manufacturers have to adhere to by USGA and RNA standards, and they're just going to make those testing conditions a little more stringent, so the ball doesn't go quite as far. So rolling it back, expecting like a 5% reduction in how far you can expect to hit all your clubs, I guess. Mostly, like you'd see it most with driver, I guess. But that's rollback. And then bifurcation would be the splitting between the professional game and the amateur game. So professionals could play golf ball or one set of golf balls, and amateurs can play another set of golf balls with different testing conditions.
So I'll start with the rollback. I'm not a fan of it. I understand to a degree why they had to do it. I don't really think it's going to solve that big of a problem. And I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's like a The how it works is for the rollback is there's a max amount the ball can go for a certain swing speed, correct? When they test it.
Something like that. Yeah. I'm not
Yeah,
sure
I
the
think.
exact specifications, but something like that. It's a swing speed max that goes a certain distance.
Yeah, so I'm not a huge fan of ever I'm not a huge fan of doing things in sport, and I know golf is different, but I'm not a huge fan of doing things in sport where people are just better and bigger and stronger, and you feel the need that you have to change the rules because of that. I think that a couple times a year, when course conditions are a certain way, when they do it at tournaments, because they're obviously rolling the ball back because they think it goes too far, and guys are just playing this bomb and gouge kind of drive it in the rough, chip it onto the green kind of style, that they think if they roll it back, it's going to kind of bring some more old school courses back into the game that kind of got eliminated from guys hitting it too far. But the issue, I don't think, is in rollback. I think the issue is the way that courses are set up week to week, where there's realistically no penalty for hitting it in the rough, and the greens are not firm enough week to week on the PGA Tour where guys are getting penalized. And you see it every week when the scores to win are, 18, 19, 20 under. This week at the Amex, they'll probably be around 24, 25 under. And then they'll go to a course where it's firm and fast, like Riviera, and guys are shooting, par, a couple under is a good score. And I get that it's hard to get a course in shape like that, but you're hosting a tournament once a year. And I think they could do a better job on the PGA, especially in setups, of making sure that the rough is a certain length and the greens are a certain firmness. And I understand that weather obviously plays a big part in that. You can't control the weather. But I think I just don't think it's going to cause that much of a change just by doing the rollback. I think guys are too good still.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this. So I am pro rollback, and I think what they're doing is not enough. It's not going to make enough of a difference at like all facets of the game. The lowest level, like the 20 handicap's not going to know the difference if he hits it 225 yards or 210. Like he doesn't know the difference. At the pro level, I think it will. Like they'll have to adjust, but that'll be like an adjustment of just how they currently go from playing at sea level to playing at elevation or playing different conditions, different temperatures. But I do think they had to do something. Again, I don't think it's enough. I don't think we could have just kept going on. And Mike kind of touched on this. Like, we want to, I think the goal was to, one of the goals was to bring some of like old school courses back. I think one of the main things is that the skill of driving the ball, one, I think it should, it is important. Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't want to take away the skill of driving the ball straight and driving the ball long. I think that's an important skill, but that skill has been too emphasized over the last several years. Like, now it's an absolute prerequisite. If you are not in the top, like, I don't know, look at the top 10 lists of golfers, or OWGR or PGA Tour, FedEx Cup, like, they all hammer the golf ball, and that's a prerequisite. Nothing wrong with that. Like, the longest hitters are always going to have an advantage, and that should be a thing, but it's just become like too much of the skill. To Mike's point of course setup, I do think setups on the PGA Tour are too easy. They definitely, I love seeing firm and fast conditions. British Open is one of my favorite golf tournaments of the year because it's usually super bouncy, firm. You see golf balls rolling all over the place, and that's like one of the more exciting styles of golf. And Kapalua was a good example of that. You see golf balls bouncing and rolling, so that's good. But the argument of just grow the rough up and like make it firm as you can, but you can't just do that across the board given weather conditions. Growing the rough up does not take it actually emphasizes the skill of driving the ball far even more. It's counterintuitive, but if you just look at like driving distance and the players that do well when the rough is super high, like US Opens, the best drivers of the game are rewarded even more there. So I don't think that's necessarily an answer. And then if we go even further, like, so that's the pro side. The amateur game, golf takes way too long, like way, way, way too long. I hate playing more than 4 hours. 4 hours used to be the standard. Now it's like 4:45, but realistically it's like 5.5 hours if you go on a weekend to a public golf course. And that's because people play too far back. And this rollback is not going to help that because it doesn't change enough. It's only a 5% reduction, so people aren't going to change their tees, and people are already playing too far back. What would help is if there was a big reduction, people were like, whoa, like, why are we playing this far back? Let's move up a set, a few sets of tees. Let's, like, then if you hit something 5% offline with a really, like, with a golf ball that goes a lot further, you're going to end up in more hazards, more stuff, more out of bounds, more lost balls, whatever. If you just reduce your cone by hitting it shorter, you'll keep the ball in front of you. Hopefully pace of play speeds up a little bit. I know that was kind of a lot to touch on, but
no, that's
those are kind of my thoughts.
That's my big thing is I mean, my big thing for pace of play is, yeah, like if the golf course gets shorter, theoretically you should play the course faster, right? Is kind of what you're saying. So
yeah.
The issue with that, and I get this, like I've talked to Mike about this before, and I think our other friend, he's kind of a squid, John. He's mentioned that, like, if you make the golf ball go shorter, people are just gonna play the same tees. I'm like, nah, I don't think so. I think it's an excuse for a lot of people to move up a tee box. I think the recreational golfer will be looking at this like, okay, the ball is capped now at like a certain length or whatever. It's actually getting shorter than the one we're playing now. The one we're going to be playing in like 5-10 years, I think it's 2030.
28, I think.
28 for the pros though, right?
Oh, for
I think
the pros, 30, yeah.
I think 30 for like the amps or the recreational golfer. So yeah, I think they'll look at that as an excuse to move up a box, I hope. Cause then I think that speeds up the game a little bit. I mean, a slow golfer is a slow golfer. I don't think it's really going to do a whole lot either way. Like just fucking be ready and play fast and it's not an issue. But I think, so the rule they put in is it says, golf balls, struck a robot controlled, by a robot controlled swing speed of 125 miles an hour, which is up 5 miles an hour from the previous 120. They must not exceed 317 yards to conform. So, like, I don't know for sure. I would imagine that's kind of where the ball was at, like 10 to 15 years ago, maybe more, maybe less. I think that's a good place for the game because I think the long hitter's still a long hitter. It's not like it's a cap on distance. So it's not like Dustin Johnson is all of a sudden going to be hitting at the same distance as Zach Johnson. It makes it an even playing field. It's like length will always still matter. The longest hitters are still going to be the longest hitter. They're just going to be, rather than 400 yards down the fairway, they're going to be 350. And then the short guy, rather than 300, is going to be 250 or whatever. Like, that math is horrendous. But it's
what
not
you're
like
saying
athleticism
is it's all
doesn't matter. It's all relative. Yeah. All it does, in my opinion, is make the golf courses more, keeps more relevant. Like, I know Padre Harrington was on No Laying Up, and he was saying that it's a bigger issue in Europe, I guess. I guess they have maybe, whether it's water or land, whatever it is, more of their dog legs have become irrelevant over there. Like, even for like maybe like a single digit handicapper, they're not played like the architect kind of, I guess, intended it to be played. So yeah, I don't know. I think there's like a lot of good to come from it. It sucks for like Titleist, TaylorMade, like all the manufacturers. I don't know how they're going to market things now. Like, everything in the last 20 years has been distance, distance, distance. Although I love to see it bite them in the ass, because they sell you one driver. And then the next one, like, TaylorMade just put out an ad saying how shit the Stealth 2 was. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it's actually hilarious. No. They're advertising their new driver and they're talking about how bad the old one is. And it's like so disrespectful to the guy who just spent $800 on that. But
yeah. Yeah. Bray, you make some really good points. I just think that it doesn't matter what game or what sport or what you play, there's always going to be something that like something in that sport that is the most important. So golf has gone from, like, in the olden days where people always thought it was like a short game putting contest, when in fact the best drivers back then were still the best players. And now it's just become
not if you
more
look at the old guys on Twitter. No.
Yeah.
Everyone will tell you it's still a game about putting.
It's still, still a putt for show game, as they say. Yeah. And we as golfers obviously know it's ball striking first.
Yeah. What I'll say is that, and you guys touched on this already, like, I think the best drivers are still going to be the best drivers. And I just, like, I want more clarity on the exact reason they did this, because I might be able to get on board a little bit more if there was more clarity of just like an answer of what exactly they wanted to accomplish. Because, like you said, I don't think this does enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Mike, are you saying, like, if they're going to roll it back, like, roll it back more, or
like roll it back more, or just roll it back and say that with this rollback, we're going to be able to do this, and this is why we did it, and et cetera, et cetera. Don't just say, okay, guys are hitting it too far, we're going to roll the ball back. It doesn't really, like, I don't know. I feel like it's just like a very cheap way to do it.
I think an argument to be made is, like, as everyone always says, it's a slippery slope, right? So if they don't do anything, the ball might be going, I don't know, let's say somebody swings at 120, the ball might be going 400 yards in 100 years, right? And I think we could all agree that's not what the game was intended to be. I think that's going to screw it. I like the slippery slope argument, because, I mean, it's, it applies to everything in society, like woke culture. I think, you know, you start, we could go on about that, but let's not get canceled on the first episode. So, I think it's more of, I think a rollback's a weird term for this, because I think it's essentially a cap. Like you said, they hardly rolled it back at all.
Yeah.
If the game right now was an issue, they did very little to solve it. Whatever they think the issue is. but I am pro doing something about it. Like let's say baseball didn't do this, right? They would be hitting 4,000 home runs a game. Like the game wouldn't even end. Like anytime a guy connects, that ball's gone, I would think. I don't know baseball, but
Yeah, but
if they didn't limit technology.
there's a big argument for baseball being more exciting with more dingers. Yes.
True, but is a dinger exciting because it's so rare? Like if it was happening every single inning, it's not, I don't think it's that exciting.
Yeah.
Put your mind in
I
a
don't think
fucking
I don't think I
pretzel
don't
on
think
that one.
that I don't think that it would be as affected as what you're trying to make it out to be, because pitchers are still fucking really good. But
I know our viewers, our 4 million viewers couldn't see the look on your face there, but you like, I put you in a pretzel with that one.
like a 300-yard drive used to be, like when I was a kid, used to be huge. Like that was not a thing that was commonplace. And now, if you don't hit it 320, on like you're not competing on the PGA Tour. So if we just scaled it back a little bit, and it's all relative, it doesn't matter if it's 350 yards or 280 yards, could be a long drive now, and it doesn't matter. Like it's still like when you're playing with your buddies and you're chirping your buddy, like, "Ooh, did you hear about the new Walmart they put between our golf balls? Like the new Walmart in town or whatever, that like classic chirp." It's the difference between your balls. It's not how far your balls went, it's how much further you hit them. So you're
Yeah.
still going to have, as a long driver, you're still going to have shorter clubs into the green. It's just going to bring, like, I just think about courses that, like, my home course that I grew up playing in Calgary, and it's an even bigger thing for guys on tour that can just fly certain bunkers that are, were supposed to be hazards to make the course challenging. And now, like, I play this course now, I'm a worse golfer than I was as a junior. I hit the ball a long way as a junior. Relatively, I hit it shorter than I did versus my friends now, just because my swing's gotten so bad. But still, some of the natural designs of courses are taken away by the technology of the golf ball. So I think they should have gone even further and given just done one big shock to the system, given the manufacturers a time to race back up, and they're gonna start competing again right away. Because if we do a 5% here, we're probably gonna have to do it again in like 15 years if we want courses to remain relevant. So I think it wasn't enough. But it, one thing, we talked about baseball, but I think tennis was a good example. I think tennis used to, they slowed tennis balls down. Like they used to be really fast, and there were too many service aces, and that wasn't exciting for the game. It was just like seeing aces isn't uncommon now. Like it still happens,
Yeah.
especially in the men's game. It's very common to win your service games. But as viewers of tennis, we can agree that rallies are more exciting. So they slowed it down to make the game more exciting. Will lot or shorter drives make the game less exciting? Maybe. But if you can play fun golf courses that are firmer, are bouncier or whatever, and you can and go to some other courses that allow that, instead of just like, okay, we got to play a 7,700 yard golf course because everyone hits it so far. I don't think seeing guys hit it 350 and then have six irons into the green because that's the only way to challenge them, is the right way. Like I'd rather see different skills tested out.
Yeah, so here's my thing is like you guys have all both been to a PGA Tour event at some point, I'm sure. Brayden's been to the Masters, no big deal. But the crowd oohs and ahs. I mean, definitely around short game shots that are unreal. Like anything that they do that like the average golfer can't, they freak out. But I think the draw every single drive, like it could be a heel banger out there and they're like, oh, a nice power fade. Like the fan doesn't know the difference between a 350 carry and a 325 carry. Like
No,
I'm
you can't see
exaggerating
it.
those numbers. No one, like not very many people, if any, carry it that far, especially at something like sea level. But it's more the fact of like how athletic they are, how their body moves, the sound the ball makes when it pops off the driver, the flight of the golf ball, like all that contribute to, I think, like the fans' entertainment. I don't think the number is that important. I think it's more important to bring that number down in order to, like, I sound like such an old man, but like the tradition of the game and like the, how the golf courses were designed to be played and all that. Yeah, I
know. But it's the tradition. It's also like course maintenance costs. I know we like brushed on that earlier, like the amount of water that you need for bigger ballparks, bigger golf courses. To Craig's point about being at a PGA Tour event, if you're standing on the fairway, you don't know if balls are going 270 or 330, but you do know, and you are oohed and awed, like you ooh and awe when you see, like you see a bunch of balls, you see you're standing on a hole for an hour or so, you see a bunch of balls collecting in one area, and then Bryson gets up and he hits it so much further than that, and you're like, whoa, that's pretty cool. He did something that the other guys didn't. That's pretty cool. So it's all a relative game. The absolute number that it goes is not that important. Like Max Homa hit one.
I think comparing it to the guys you're playing with is way more important.
Yeah, exactly. And Max Homa just hit a drive. Like obviously it was windy, probably hit the cart path. I don't know, but he just broke the record for longest drive. Like that absolute number, it was like almost 500 yards. That doesn't mean anything because we know it's like, it's firm, fast, bouncy, downwind. It just matters like how much further he hit that than the average drive on that hole that like is actually the cool thing.
I don't know, Mike, are you ready to admit defeat on that one and we can move on?
We dummied right there.
You guys make some good points for sure.
Yeah. All right. We'll take the W. Okay, on to the next thing. Pretty simple. Okay, predictions for the year. We got Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year. I want all four major champions. I know that's like ridiculous to predict, but I want it.
I'm going
biggest disappointment and biggest surprise.
Biggest disappointment and biggest
surprise. Are we each going to list all of ours, or are we going to go like each list rookie, each list player of the year?
Why don't we go? Why don't we start? I'm going to start with rookie because I want dibs on this rookie because I've had a fucking massive erection for this guy. I saw his swing on Instagram. I love his coach. I think rookie of the year is Max Gracerman, who nobody probably knows. His coach is like the GOAT. Everyone he teaches has a perfect golf swing. He hits it 400 yards, even after the rollback. He's just a tour striker. Every time I watch a swing, I make a mess in my pants. I think he wins an event his first year. I'm going to go that far. Braden, I know you don't know anything about golf now, so I don't know if you have a rookie of the year.
I don't, but I'm just going to throw a name out there. So yeah, I'm the weekend warrior, like not as in tune into the golf space as some of these guys, but I'm going to go with one of the Cootie brothers. I'm taking both of them. They're brothers, so I get two of them, and if one of them
you
wins,
get two picks.
That's a dub for me.
Wow. The two for one.
Yeah. That's how it's
okay,
done.
I'm going to...
the most liberal, generous pick. Like, me and Mike accepting that you can just take two guys is so Canadian.
Yeah, it's a little
Mike, go ahead.
I'm going to take a guy that I played a Canadian Am with, as he was a U.S. citizen, and the way this guy hit the ball was so different. And then when I was on Canadian Tour, he was on I think he won three or four times that year as well. Jake Knapp. Guy is a monster.
Oh, he's gross. I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's disgusting. I like that you threw the subtle like flex in there, like back when I played with him too. That's kind of sick.
I just wanted to let you guys know that I was that good.
Yeah.
You were that good.
All right. Okay, rookie of the year, done, easy. Player of the year, mine's, I mean, I don't even have anything to really say about it. I think Scottie Scheffler, I didn't watch a lot of the first 2 weeks of the year, to be honest. I don't think he was playing last week, right? But Kapalua, I mean, he just strikes it every time, it seems like. I know his putting, his strokes gained, I think was awful last year.
Yeah, it's
I just couldn't
terrible.
imagine him not being kind of, I feel like him and Rory are just going to be 1-2 on the PGA now for a while with Rom gone. I don't know. Am I missing anyone? I don't know if anyone's really close to those guys. So I'm going to pick Scotty because Rory's kind of always disappointed me for the last 10 years now.
Yeah, this isn't gonna make for good content because I also had Scotty, but yeah, his ball striking's been off the charts. Like every event, he's like number one. He's definitely in the top five of every tournament he plays in strokes gained tee to green. If he can just find some consistency with the putter, he's just gonna be heads and tails above everyone else on the tour, especially now that Rom's gone. Obviously, Rory's still there. More, yeah, Morikawa's still there, Hovland's still there, but Scotty's my pick for player of the year.
And drive for show, putt for dough. So,
Yep.
Mike, go ahead.
I'm going to go with who I think is the best player in the world right now, Victor Hovland.
Love it.
Kind of forgot about, like, didn't forget about him,
He
but
won the FedEx Cup, you fuck.
I.
I think he. With his like upgraded short game that he has now from working with a different coach, I think he's just gonna go off this year.
Did you not see that they split?
Yeah, he
I
split
saw
with
it. I
Joe
did see
Mayo.
that. I saw they split, but I think he did his. I think he put in some good work with
Put in
them.
the work.
Yeah.
Isn't that there's gonna be some like he's not gonna if he starts struggling like on the into the green chips, he's not
Yeah.
gonna have like that fix, that fallback that he can just go to now though. So we'll see. If he's playing well, he's gonna be playing well. But if he finds some adversity, you never know.
Yeah.
This is the thing. So, I mean, I coach golf for a living. I'm probably the best golf coach in Vancouver, hands down. I think Victor was very smart about what he did. I have like I have another hard on for Joe Mayo, but like I think his coaching's unbelievable. If you're like a golf nerd and like a swing nerd, I think he honestly kind of revolutionized golf coaching, as weird as that sounds. He's kind
No,
of
you're
like the
probably right.
goat of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
He changed the way a lot of people approach the swing. He like questioned things that tour players said that were just incorrect because they kind of go off their feels. He brought in like a lot of hard evidence. That being said, he's also very opinionated. He doesn't mind his opinion being challenged, but he's it's hard to explain, but if you followed him for a while, he's a bit of a quirky personality. Like I could imagine him being a little overbearing with Victor. I think Victor kind of got all the information out of Joe that he needed to fix chipping on his own. I think he
Yeah.
knows what to look for. It's kind of like his golf swing. Like he can now look, like if he gets somebody to take a video, he can now look to see what he'll know how to fix what when it goes wrong, basically. I think he's gotten to that point, and he's just kind of, I'm sure him and Joe Mayo, I would imagine, are still on good terms. They both seem like really good guys. But he's probably just like, I don't need you at every single tour event anymore. So
Yeah.
let's just part ways. I wouldn't be surprised if he still gives him a call when he's struggling. He probably just doesn't want that guy either on his payroll. I don't know what he would have been paying him. Or he just doesn't want that voice in his ear 24/7.
Good point. Where
Okay,
are we
so
going
that's
next?
player of the year. I actually really like Mike's pick though. I think that's solid. Major champions. So we got obviously Masters, PGA, US Open, British Open. I got Masters, I got Scotty again. US Open, which I think Masters Scotty is kind of a crazy pick since he's been struggling with his putting. But I just feel like he's won it before. Well, did he win it 2021, right? DJ, I think, won it 2020.
Yeah, he won
Or no,
it
20. Am I mixing that up?
22.
22, my bad. Yeah, I just feel like his ball strike, if his putting's just half decent, he gets it done. I think he's honestly got to be the betting favorite for probably every major, unless something goes crazy before then. US Open, I got Koepka. PGA, I got Rory. I think I hate to put his name now because it's disappointment every year, but it's Valhalla. That's where he heel banged that three wood, I think, and then made eagle and then had that unreal back nine. And then, kind of just to trigger Mike, I British Open, I got Spieth.
Oh, that's just a
So yeah,
bad pick.
those are my. I think Spieth's swing looks more like it kind of used to now. He's got that weird laid off position at the top gone. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I'm a big. I don't think again. Like swings aren't everything by any means. I just when a guy's struggling and it looks that different, I think he's got that many more thoughts going through his head. And I think it takes away from the rest of his game, most of all.
Yeah.
So I think that's why Spieth has a better year this year.
Spieth winning is good for the sport of golf. Like he's kind of the most relatable, I guess, of the very elite golfers, because he yells at his golf ball, like blames his caddy, always doing something that's a little different, but is obviously very elite. So it is fun when he's winning. I
Gives us
hate,
stuff to talk about.
yeah, he does. I hate that I have so many picks in common with the low IQ Craig Titterington. Because I also have Scottie Scheffler winning the Masters. I know that's like not going, we're not going off the board here. He's the number one betting favorite. But like I said earlier, ball striking off the charts. If he just finds something with his putting, just he doesn't need to have even like positive strokes gain. He just can't lose strokes on the greens. And then he
That's
just,
how good he hits it.
then he'll blitz the field. Yeah. And if he like, that's the thing with putting, is that if you, like Morikawa, when he wins his tournaments, he's striking the ball well and just gets hot. And that's all you need to do. Just hit the ball well and then get hot with the putter for 1 or 2 weeks, and boom, you're a millionaire. So, Scottie Masters, US Open at Pinehurst, I got Morikawa. Last time it was at Pinehurst, Martin Kaymer won, who's on LIV. I had to look that up. I like completely forgot about this guy. Martin Kaymer had always hit a fade his entire golfing career until like 2011. He wanted to start hitting a draw to play the Masters, I guess. I don't know. Decided he wanted to hit a draw. Really started struggling. Then went back to hitting the fade in 2014 and won at Pinehurst. And I think that's kind of similar to Colin. Like he Colin hasn't like tried to get away from hitting the fade, but he's been struggling to hit the fade. And now he's starting to hit the ball better, so I think that's a really good like course fit for him.
I
Mike,
think
you were going
Kaymer ran
something.
away with it that year, didn't he?
Yeah, it
Yeah,
wasn't
he won by
close.
like 10.
He
Yeah.
like dummied everyone. It wasn't
Do you know
close. It
who
was.
else was near the top of the leaderboard? Now he lost by about 15, but Koepka was T4
Oh wow, that
back
would have
when
been one of
nobody.
Kepka's first majors, probably,
Yeah,
huh?
he was young, so I feel like, it's
Okay,
got good vibes with
yeah.
that course.
Good pick. I got, so similar to Craig, I got Rory at Valhalla. That was Rory's last major. That's 10 years ago now. 10
Just
years since
fucking
Rory
wild.
hasn't won a major
I
championship.
would saw my dick if somebody gave me a bet and said back in 2014, like the day,
Yeah.
because he finished in the dark. Let's say that night they're like, hey, if Rory doesn't win another major for 10 years, you have to saw your dick off. But if he wins one within 10 years, I'll give you $4 million. I'm taking that bet every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna have nine. Like realistically, I thought he'd have nine by the end of his career. I thought that was a very realistic number,
Yeah.
and now that looks like
It's been
kind
stuck
of
on
up in the
four
air.
for fucking forever here. And then the open is at Royal Troon. And do you know what happened last time it was at Royal Troon? It was the
What
Phil
year was that?
Stenson. I
Oh
don't know what
yeah.
year, but it was the Phil Stenson. Like they were, it
Oh
was the
yeah.
two horse race.
2016, I
It was
think.
like
Yeah, it was
the record they set, right?
16, yeah.
Yeah, they were like 10 shots ahead of the third place guy or something like
Yeah.
that. But Stenson ended up pulling it out. So I'm gonna go with countryman Åberg, the American way of saying his name. I'm not gonna do the Euro way, but I'm gonna go fellow Swede Åberg.
Very nice. Very nice. Is it on me now?
Yeah, this is where we get to the Stephen A. hot takes. Let's see it, Mike.
You want some hot takes? I'm not
Yeah.
going that hot. Masters, I'm going Xander. I'm
He's
pretty
just
sure
too
he's had.
goddamn boring, though. Xander's such a little cuck.
Yeah, but
He's.
I love watching Xander. I don't
He
know.
just like
So pure.
he does everything so well, and I think he's gonna
Yeah.
break through. US Open, I'm going to go Aubert. PGA, I'm going Brooks. And British, I'm gonna go with Rory.
Nice.
British or Tate. So do we all have Bryn? Did you have Rory in at some point or
I
no?
have Rory at PGA. Same as
Wow,
you.
so we all took Rory for a major this year. I wonder, I guarantee every single golf podcast in the last like 6 years has done that on
I
these
guarantee
predictions.
that they're
Definitely.
batting zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
This is
right.
our first year, so we're gonna be the one that changes his luck here.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Okay, biggest disappointment, biggest surprise. I almost feel bad for biggest disappointment because like I don't think anyone hates this guy. Maybe when he was a rookie, but I think I don't know if Ricky like I think he might be working with Butch again, which is a good sign. I don't know. He's got a smoke of a wife. I feel like he's got all the money in the bank. I feel like he's a guy who probably doesn't get up every day to go hit balls and putt and chip. Like, I think he's just got enough good in his life that he's not grinding that hard anymore. It's the most uneducated take ever, but I just don't think he's making that comeback to like a top five player in the world or top 10 or whatever. He better not be in the top 10 right now. But yeah. Biggest surprise, I think I had, let me check. Yeah, I got Spieth. I think Spieth, I don't know if that's a big surprise. I think he has a good year this year. Like I said previously, I think he just will be able to kind of focus on every aspect of his game. He looks like he's more in tune with his swing now. I think he dials it in.
Okay. I'm gonna go two
Gray, who
for
you got?
one. The biggest disappointment and biggest surprise, Jordan Spieth loses his tour card this year.
Oh
He's gonna
baby,
be
here we go.
he's gonna be exempt still,
Here we
obviously, because
go.
he I guess you can't lose your tour card if he gets starts because he has past wins, but he's gonna be outside the 125 that would like auto
Dude,
qualify.
he finished. How did he play week one? We're recording this after week two. I'm pretty sure he played pretty good at Kapalua, didn't he?
I don't care. He
Kapalua, finished
everyone knows
third. He
Kapalua
finished
doesn't
solo
count.
third, 27 under. You're not struggling with your game at minus 27.
It's
One
Kapalua doesn't
tournament.
count. Hey, how many
That's
guys
true.
have
It
played
suits him.
Kapalua? This year is the first year that it hasn't been a winners only tournament, right? Like they opened it up to other people. So how many people
Right.
have realistically played there? Not too many, other than past champs. So
Minus 27 is pretty good golf. I think that's fair to say.
well, he's going to be outside the 125. Mark my words.
Might be some side action on that one after this. What do you got for
That was both. That's a
that
surprise
was oh
and
yeah, my bad.
disappointment. If you
Yeah.
want another, okay, that's the biggest surprise then. That would be the biggest disappointment. And biggest surprise. Fuck it. They're both.
Yeah, no. That
Spieth
makes
being
sense.
bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I hate the take, but I think that's a really good answer. Mike, what do you got?
I'm going to go with biggest disappointment being Justin Thomas. I think he had a pretty tough year last year, and I think he's still got some demons. I don't think he's going to sort things out. He's not going to have a bad year, but I think it's still going to be a disappointment. He's going to miss some cuts at some majors, and I don't think he's going to get a win this year. My biggest surprise, and it's not going to be a huge surprise, but I'm still putting it in this category, is I think that Aubert wins a major, wins a WGC, and finishes the year top five in the world.
Are WGCs a thing? I thought they canceled them.
Maybe they aren't a thing anymore.
There's elevated events now
Or
where
ele
one
yeah,
is
sorry,
like
elevated events.
designated.
That's
Yeah.
right.
Okay.
Wow, we're stay hot golf
No,
podcast.
that's a good take. This guy can
It
fucking hit
is
the golf ball.
Aubert. Aubert is does he hit it? He hits it deep, right?
He hits
Yeah.
it very far. and very
And
straight.
that's,
What
yeah.
okay, what about Minwoo talking about guys?
Lululemon.
I
Talk
feel,
about
yeah,
guys who hit the ball a long way.
that's gonna be
Holy
my
shit.
clothing order this year is
Yeah.
Lulu now.
And
Make
that's
him look
one thing I
good.
want to say too, is I was on the side of rolling back the ball is a good thing. I only like golfers that hit the ball far. So that's not me talking out of both sides of my mouth. It's all a relative thing. Like, I don't like golfers that hit it short. Golfers that hit
Yeah.
it far are more exciting, more fun. It's just a relative thing. So I'm going to keep saying Åberg. I like Åberg. I like Minwoo. I like Brooks. I like
Yeah.
DJ. I like guys that smash the golf ball.
No, everyone knows golfers who hit it short fuck threes. There's no other way. They're not exciting. Like they're, I don't know. But
You tell me, are you
Minwoo
telling
might
me
be.
Brian Harman winning the British was not exciting this year?
I
Exactly, yes. Yeah, you could. Brian Harman got on the pip because he won the British Open, and
Brian
that's
Harman
a
was on the
shame.
pip.
Yes.
How high up?
I don't know. We got like a
Let's see.
million, 2 million or something.
I think, okay, one thing I want got on Minwoo is he is the definition of a guy. Like, if you showed up to a junior golf tournament and you were partnered with Minwoo, you wouldn't think he hits it out of his shadow. Like, you would not be expecting him to like absolutely fuck the golf ball down the fairway.
Yeah.
And every single time his golf ball's sticky. Like he just nuts on it every time. It's so deep.
He's cracking
He's actually
190 ball
awesome.
speed like regularly.
Yeah. No,
Wow.
I love watching him. I hope he has a good year. Like I wouldn't be mad if he
I think he'll have a great year.
yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay, so do you guys got anything else for that, or are we all good?
All good.
Moving on. Okay, this is our first ever segment. I don't know if it's going to be a weekly thing. I hope it is. We're going to call this the cancel culture segment until we find a better name, but I think it kind of works. So what we're going to do here is we're going to cancel people due to woke culture, for things that people shouldn't be canceled for. Braden, I think you had a really good one for this week, or maybe not really good. I don't want to hype it up, but why don't you lead us off here?
Yeah, I don't know if I went in the right direction with this, and I don't know if it's very good, but I was gonna cancel, and Mike talked about it earlier, but Jason Day for those goddamn flood pants he was wearing with that, I don't even know how to say it, Melbourne. My sister lives in Australia, and she calls Melbourne now because that's how all the Aussies saying it. So I don't know if this company is like a play on Melbourne. But yeah, I'm canceling Jason Day for looking like a tool in those goddamn pants. And I am not one that has sick style. I don't know, like I wear the same suit to every wedding because I just like have one that works. I'm not the style guru by any means. But when I see those pants, I want to throw up in my mouth. So I am canceling Jason Day for his Melbourne sponsorship.
What's actually hilarious about that is Jason Day's a fucking, I mean, he's a handsome guy. And he's wearing the ugliest possible pants you could imagine. And then you got Minwoo, who he kind of looks like a dork. But then he's wearing Lulu and looks like a fucking gangster.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny, like why, I don't know. It's why they usually would be flipped, but I mean good for Minwoo. He's I mean, probably got his DMs probably popped off after the Lulu sponsorship. Mike, do you got anything?
No, I don't really have anyone. If I was going to cancel anyone this week, I would probably cancel Rory, because that guy was on one side of the fence of the PGA LIV merger for so long. And now that some more esteemed colleague like John Rahm is going over, he's saying that, oh, now LIV does have a place in golf when he was so far against it before. And I just don't like I don't like how soft he is. So I'm canceling him for softness.
Yeah, I kind of, I'm like a Rory nut hugger, so I have a tough time bashing him, but that fucking drove me nuts, like wishy-washy, like you can't be that opinionated about something and then less like it's been going on for, I don't know, over a year now, but he was that opinionated about it a few weeks ago. And then all of a sudden,
I'd love him more if he just stayed so far on one side and would just like, even if he didn't believe it anymore, he just stuck with his guns. Now
that
he's.
okay, that being said, I also didn't see video of him saying any of this. I just kind of saw the quote.
Yeah,
So
so did I.
I
Yeah.
don't, I'm not gonna jump on the Rory hate for that, but
If I can
yeah,
jump
no,
in,
I'm
I know, like, I didn't dig in either, but I know that quote was taken a little bit out of context, and that's where like every live guy has just, or like pro live person and guys on live have just like ran with that one thing. And I think it was part of a deeper conversation where he didn't really fully back up, but the fact that he said those words that like I don't even know what he said exactly. It is a bit of a backtrack, but I know it wasn't a full backtrack like the headlines
gotcha.
make it sound. But
Okay.
still, cancel his soft ass. I'm in.
Okay, we're gonna fly through this last bit. Let's try to get this done in 5 minutes. Our podcast is on a budget and we're on the free version of Skype. So, all I got for cancel culture segment, a couple weeks late on this, but Brooks Koepka, objectifying, I think it's Jenna Sims, his rocket of a wife, mother of his children. I found that was disgusting. I wouldn't be surprised if that's been going on for a while. Big Kepka guy. But I mean, there's boundaries, right? I mean, there's women out there. They're not objects. You can't play with sparklers over their tits. It's just,
Cannot
that's
be
not what we
having
do
that.
in the golf world. Like,
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine if,
that's
fuck, like,
unacceptable. This
if
guy.
our forefathers of the game saw that, our forefathers, ancestors, something, if they saw this going on with today's star golfer, they'd just be disgusted. So I think we cancel Brooks, arguably kick him out of all the majors next year. I don't know, except for the US Open, because that's where he's gonna win, according to my prediction. So cancel Brooks. Last thing, I don't know if you guys have any bets going on to the w next week. Amex tournament, Palm Springs. I don't even know who's in the field, so I can't really contribute to this. Haven't looked at the betting odds. You guys are much more degenerate than I am. Let me know if you got anything.
Yeah, I do know that this tournament is always a shootout fiasco. Like it's just a
Putting
it
fest.
all yeah, it goes so deep. Yeah, Jon Rahm was a few years ago caught on a hot mic like saying he hates how it's a fucking putting fest or whatever, and then didn't he win it the next year?
He
Like
yeah, he did win.
he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talking about yeah, talking out of both sides of his mouth there, but let me look at the odds here. That's not the right tournament.
I don't even know who's in the event. I was not prepared for this one, so.
I'm taking Scottie Scheffler to win this week. Don't know about
Okay,
you
yeah, that's a
guys.
safe bet. Let's just throw the house on
I'm taking
Scotty.
Scottie.
Now
Yeah.
we can keep this in.
Sung
So.
Jae Im. Sung Jae Im is my pick. He's let's see what he's at. So my strategy with golf betting, I know we're getting short on time, is to find guys that don't have that brand name, because everyone with a brand name is gonna have the shorter odds. Like
They're gonna
it's
get hammered.
like Tiger always gets bet down, like the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL, so much public money on them. So I'll go with a guy that like Sungjae has the brand name, but he's not like the big name, popular name. So I'm gonna sprinkle him a little bit here. He's at, I think, 18 to 1 or something like that.
I think that's the best way to go about golf betting, honestly. Like, if you
Yeah.
want value, I think usually, even on Sundays, if you go on the leaderboard and you look at guys that are like one back.
Yeah. Look at guys that are
It's
one or two back that they'll have like odds that are like 12 to 1, and then someone that's two back that has a big brand name is like 5 to 1. It's like these guys are all
yeah,
professional golfers and the margins are
they've all
so
been in this
slim.
situation
Yeah,
before
exactly.
at very stressful situations. Like, I'm sure winning on tour for the first time is definitely different than winning the I don't know, PacHost Am or like some huge Am event, but I mean, they've all been on tour for a while typically, so. Anyway, that's all I got. We're pretty much out of time. I don't know if you guys got anything quickly to add in the last 30 seconds here, but
No, that was fun. Thanks, boys.
That was
yeah,
great.
that was sweet.
The
Okay.
inaugural.
Yeah, these are fun. Let's do it again next week, hopefully, and
Good day, everyone.
Peace, boys.
She tried to make my